Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
What a splendid job our boys and girls did. What if we began every single day of the week that way? That would be a gift for me. I don't know about you. But what a great job you did, boys and girls. And we thank you for jumping into our music and learning more about God through the voice that God gives to us. So this is one of those sermons that will either be rather self-serving for me, or you'll immediately say, yes, that's it. So just be warned, disclaimer from the former lawyer, right? This past week, I had the good fortune of gathering together with a colleague group of priests. We had 3 days of intense conversation. Now, of course, you can imagine how much fun it is for a group of priests to come together and talk about the life of the church. Most of you would either fall asleep or just leave, probably. But we had a great time. At the heart of what we were discussing was a question that I find far too many of us asking today. And the question was simply this: where is God leading us? Where is God leading us? As most of you know, churches in America are not growing right now. They're not doing well. And the statistics that keep coming out are not, well, they don't make me very comfortable. Just this past week in our own denomination of the Episcopal Church, we heard the latest numbers from 2013. And once again, membership and average Sunday attendance in the United States and abroad fell between 3 and 5% for parishes in our denomination. In addition to that, annual giving or stewardship fell between 4 and 7%. That's 1 year. You do the math. But my colleagues and I did not focus upon these facts. We are not glass half empty people. Instead, we asked one another hard questions over our days together. Hard questions about what it means to be the church today. Where God is taking us today. And here's the hard one: what we might need to stop doing for the image we see in the mirror to more clearly reflect the one who sent us, God's very Son. Okay, so I came home, looked at the calendar. Rena Stallworth keeps our building calendar for us, and so she sends out an email every single week. And when I received this one, I was writing this sermon. And that calendar I went through and counted. Between this morning and next Sunday, 7 days, there are 73 activities in your parish. 73! Now, on the one hand, that is really exciting, isn't it? But on the other, something to ponder. Could the church just be mimicking the world and its time, its lack of time, creating busy work rather than holy work? Have we so scheduled our time that prayer, love, and service are lost in the schedule of program? Think about it another way. On any given Sunday like today, although we might be up just a little bit because 9 o'clock attendance will have a bump with the children singing, but on any given Sunday, about 475 to 500 people come here at Holy Innocents. That's a great number. We're almost 500 every week. Now, also worth dropping a footnote here. That number was 286 just a few years ago. So we're bucking this trend. That's great. We can feel good. We can puff ourselves up. But let's ask a deeper question. With over 70 events and just 475 or so coming on a Sunday, can you really get connected to the person next to you? Because once again, do the math. We're not having a lot of people show up for 70-something events because, well, we would die for Jesus, literally, if we did that all the time, right? Now, I want to compare us to a couple of people or companies. Let's start with Apple Computer. Their esteemed CEO said one time, "We can put all of our products on one table." By keeping things very simple, we are able to do things really well. Or if that's not a good one for you, how about translating to the latest feature of many Episcopalian stock portfolio, Chipotle, the Tex-Mex restaurant taking everyone by storm, right? They offer how many? Four products. They just give you tons of toppings so it feels like your own, right? But just four products. Back to the church. 73 things we can do this week. What image of God are we portraying to the world? That God is a busy God? That to be full of grace, it takes a lot of work? Imagine that you were a guest at Holy Innocence today, the first time you've ever been here. How easy would it be to get to know the depth of the community as you chose among your 73 events to connect with someone else? My colleague group, going back to them, well, we have a fear. And the fear that we have is that the real reason many of our parishes are dying is that we have forgotten how to keep the main thing the main thing. That we as churches have forgotten that we exist for one central reason: to make Christians. We have so product our parishes that we can no longer put what we can do on one table when really it's all about the one table. Instead, most of our parishes look like a vast shopping mall with so many specialty shops, so many wares, so many things being branded and peddled that you have difficulty getting your heart into the game, because telling what the central mission of the church is next to impossible. Go to the epistle lesson from this morning. When Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy write to the people of Thessalonica, they do not ask about their program. They do not ask about their calendar. Instead, they give thanks for love and hope in Christ Jesus, period. Their focus, they say, is thanksgiving for being imitators of Jesus Christ. They wrote to give thanks because their fellow Christians were keeping the main thing, the main thing. What would happen if we started asking as a parish how each thing that we do reflects Jesus? What would happen if we asked how each thing we do brings people into God's love and hope? That's the only way, ultimately, that we can render to God the things that are God's here, and not render Caesar's things here. For being a nice church, a beautiful church on the corner of a beautiful neighborhood, well, not many people pass by going, "That looks nice. Maybe I should go in there." No, they still head off to get a paper and, well, no, they're back to Apple and one of the four products. And they head to Starbucks that serves coffee and tea, two products with more things that you can add than I can imagine. You get the feeling? The church, one mission to save lives in Jesus Christ. You know, it's about time we as the church said we're not going to cry in our blankets about a past day and the loss of it, the way things used to be. And instead, we look at one another and say, thanks be to God. What an opportunity to be in this moment. For my colleagues and I, just like you, we are excited about what God is doing because Jesus still matters. That's hard for Episcopalians to say. But let's try it. Jesus still matters. Come on. Jesus still matters. He matters in your life. He matters in others. And he can give meaning and purpose to you if you have one mission to be more like him, not as a product and not as a program. These next years are going to be hard, brothers and sisters. Some statistics say that as many as one-third of Christian churches will close in the United States in the next decade. One-third. And in case you've missed the other statistics, the big box churches, according to the Pew Trust, they are converting as fast as they come in the door, and they're leaving out the back door faster than they leave the Episcopal Church or the Methodist or the Presbyterian. This is a hard era. But we Episcopalians need to stop hiding behind our glory and vestments. We need to get serious about Jesus being the main thing. And so I ask of you three simple things. I don't even need the fourth. One, I ask you to pray. I ask you to come here regularly in worship, to pray with one another in this place, and to take your prayers home. You need to come here because there will be days when you don't know what to pray without coming. And you will need the person next to you to pray in your stead. Pray. Number two, I ask that you love. Simply love. Let love answer all the questions. Let love rule your heart. Let love be your value, not doctrine or dogma. Pray, love. Number three, serve. For if we do nothing but hang out here, well, then we aren't praying and loving after all. Jesus needs us to serve now more than ever. Our city needs us. Just this week, I learned that one in four children in Atlanta public schools will be homeless at some point, K through 12. And of all areas in metro Atlanta, homelessness is growing fastest in Sandy Springs. Pray, love, serve. Pray, love, serve. Beloved, I don't care about the statistics because the data cannot capture the pesky Holy Spirit burning in people's hearts for the central mission of the church, Jesus Christ. Let's make some disciples. Let's form some Christians. Let's keep the main thing, the main thing. Pray, love, serve. I did need the fourth. Jesus.